produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, evening, afternoon, whenever it is that you are joining me. Thank you for joining me on Rev. Lydia Speaks, on the Josie's Inspiration Network, and the Finding My Way Network. Let me ask you something. Did you ever just sit and ponder? I mean, just sit and let your mind wander. And when it wanders, it goes from the sublime to the ridiculous, from everything like, how do I make more money, to the big and all important, what is the meaning of life, and what part do I play in it? In short, why am I here? The more you think about it, the more confused you can become. And if you choose to ask others, you get a myriad of comments on ways to find your purpose. Some say that you find out what it is that makes you so happy that you would do it free of charge, then you've found your purpose. Others say it's the thing that you can do well, but what if you feel that way about more than one thing? I know several things in my own life that fit this criteria, but let's suppose that all of these things are just small things. Stepping stones, if you will, on the way to the real purpose for which you were created. Zechariah 4:10 says, despise not these small things. Each of us was created for a specific purpose. The creator of the universe has a plan for your life. The very God that created everything with great detail put the same amount of time and detail into planning your very existence. And it tells you so in Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. All the days ordained for me are written in your book before one of them came to be. Now that's pre-planning, if you ask me. Well, if that's the case, then why didn't God just drop us where we needed to be to fulfill this purpose? He created us with a beginning, a wonderfully intricate middle, and an ending. Now, I'd say that makes us a best-selling novel. But along with all of that planning, he gave us free will. So it seems that the purpose of our days, with all of the pondering and searching that we live out in the middle part, all of that should lead us to our individual calling, right? So, in essence, God did place us in the perfect spot and put us on the path to living our calling. When we're on our quest to find ourselves and our purpose, it tends to make us feel that if we're busy enough or try enough things, you know, that shotgun approach, that something would jump out at us like the thing. I hate to burst your bubble, but all that does is make you a human doing instead of what we were created to be, human beings. Now, here's the truth. We don't have to run in circles to try to be good enough to find God's plan for our lives or work extra hard. I found that if I get rid of some of the busyness in my life and spend time focused on God and just simply ask Him and then take the time to listen, He speaks plainly. And that could present a problem for those of us who may not want to hear this plan, because it doesn't quite fit into what we think we should be doing or what we think we should be. But let me tell you that God has given each of us more than one talent and the opportunities to use them all throughout the course of our lives. But it's only when we trim back on the excess busy work that the real direction can shine through. I'll give you an example. I can remember a stage in my own life when I didn't exactly know why I was waking up at the same time every night, and I couldn't go back to sleep. I tried and lay still so I wouldn't wake up my husband and the rest of the house, but finally I'd have to get up. And sometimes I'd make a cup of tea or something and hope that it would make me sleepy, or I'd even read something. Well, as you can imagine, that got old real fast, and I really became frustrated, really frustrated. Finally, out of that frustration, I asked God what I was doing wrong. What was wrong with me? What did He want with me? What's going on? Now, can you imagine my surprise when He actually did answer? Now, I don't mean I physically heard a voice or anything like that, but there was a feeling, I have to explain it this way, a feeling that led me to stop and think on what was causing me to have this disturbance. There is always an underlying cause. Remember, cause and effect. This had been a very, very busy time in my life. My father had been diagnosed with cancer, and he was in hospice at home. And it was a very busy time for me. I was running a business. I had a sick, aging, dying father, a family of my own who I now know I was shortchanging by spreading myself too thin, and everything else because I was also in school to become a minister. And the question entered my mind, is any of this worth it? Is this what I am supposed to be doing? I even questioned, should I even be trying to go to school? I was in the place of cutting myself short to make sure everybody else had what they needed. because I was taught whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. That may be true in some respect, but what it will do is fuel the fear that you're not doing enough. And this creates a cycle. Fear fuels busyness. And the busier you are, the more you find you need to do. And so on, until your peace is gone. And you don't even know it, but you start to feel like a failure. But something happened during those night conversations with God. He taught me how to take care of myself first. And when I did, things started falling into place. Now, taking care of myself at first seemed like just something that I didn't have time to do. But it made me pray more and lean on the promises of God more. And that built up my faith. Faith fuels the peace needed to stay still long enough to find your purpose, to listen to God. The world tells you to keep your nose to the grindstone. And people are quick to tell you what you lack and what you're not doing and what you're supposed to do. But Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test approve God's perfect will for you. Renewing the mind. Let me tell you, that takes time and trust. Trust that there's something better at the end than what you're used to. But I can also tell you that the most exciting time of my day turned out to be that time, that between 3 and 3:30 in the morning time, when I spent time with God. Now, it's been over 25 years now, and I still wake up at the same time. But when I wake up now, I don't ask God what he wants with me and why I'm waking up. I get up like I'm about to meet with my best friend. Now, the only time I don't wake up at the same time is if I've taken some kind of medication that caused me to sleep through the night. So I say to you, practice being selective with your time and your talents. In short, learn to say no sometimes. Start asking God if this is the direction that he would have you to go. And this is how you find your purpose and your passion. Is it difficult? Yes, it is. Especially if you tend to fly out in all directions at the same time and you're used to what we now call multitasking. It means you have to take captive of every thought that enters. And there will be plenty, especially when you first try to slow them down. I've learned to just watch things like I'm watching a video and just let it go by. But God did say, ask and you will receive. And the most important thing to ask for is wisdom, followed closely by understanding. And know this, God does work in mysterious ways, but he's not playing a game of hide and seek with your purpose. We all just need to slow down a little. No, I'll take that back. We all need to slow down a lot and lay aside some distractions that tend to take away from your spending time with God. Instead of if you wake up in the middle of the night getting on Facebook or any social media, I'm telling you from experience, God will show you where to go if you sit quietly and talk with him. He'll show you where to go, who to talk to when you get there, and he'll even give you the words to say when you get to the person that you need to talk to. But you have to trust yourself enough to put all of your trust in him. I found out that there are talents that I've discovered within myself that I'm quite interested in pursuing just to see what happens. But only if God says yes, because otherwise it would be a waste of my time and yet another distraction, taking away from my time with him. I'm at the age now that I don't want to waste any of the time I have left. If the challenges of this past year have shown me anything, it's that time is precious and life is fragile. I've lost so many friends. during this time of the pandemic, relatives, friends of friends. I don't understand, but I am going to do what I can, where I am, with what I have for as long as I can. Because after all, Psalm 92 says it plainly in verse 14. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Now, not a knock toward my age, but I've got more behind me than I do in front of me if we just go statistically speaking. So I don't want to waste any of this time. And that verse is talking about those who are planted in the house of the Lord, those who stay still, those who are righteous, those who stay still long enough to listen and to obey and to be any of those things. You have to have the qualities to be still. Matthew 6:25-34 talks about the lilies of the field. And I know that's a cliche. People use that all the time when they don't want to do anything. But it's true, lilies sit in all of their beauty. And they're planted wherever God has chosen to blow their seeds. And they just accept the nourishment that comes to them. The sunlight, the rain, the vitamins from the soil. And they grow and add beauty to their surroundings. They're not at all concerned with the fact that they may be in a strange place to be a lily, or they haven't done enough at day's end. They're just content to be. I would love to be as content in my trust in the divine. I'm getting better every day, but being human, when things come up, I still have concerns. I've noticed now that my first thing to do is to say, Lord, what do you want out of this? It's going to be very exciting for me to see how you bring out of this. Now, realize that this doesn't mean becoming a lily, doesn't mean becoming a lump of clay where you just simply sit and do nothing, because it simply means do what you can within your power, all that you can within your power, and let the power of God point you in the direction you need to go in order to do the next thing. I ask him all the time. Like I said, this is going to be real interesting, God. How are you going to get me out of this one? The only reason you've gotten into something where you have to say that is that you didn't sit still long enough and wait long enough and listen intently enough. Notice I didn't say hard, because the more you try, the more you set up a block and the more that you won't hear that still small voice, because it's a whisper. Our God is a gentleman and he doesn't infringe on your rights. As I said earlier, he gave you free will. But I need him to tell me what to do, how to come about doing the next thing. God knows the plans he has for you, to bring you, as Jeremiah 29:11 says, to an expected end. Expect it. You do your work, and you do it the best of your ability. You sit and you talk with God and get instruction on how to do it to the best of your ability. And you listen. And if you follow everything that God says, and believe me, if you're doing this long enough, you'll know his voice. You'll know that it's your ego telling you to do something, but you'll also know when God is saying wait. Now, wait doesn't mean no. Wait just means wait. I have something else better for you in between what you're thinking and what you want to do that'll bring you to an expected good end. So I'm going to ask you, try that. It worked for me. And it was at the time in my life when I didn't think anything was ever going to be right again. But I'll tell you, when you think that way, you draw more confusion toward you. And you draw more things that you don't want, because it's with the intensity of your thoughts that your manifestations take place. So don't you think it's time for you to step back a little? Just step back just a little bit to, as I like to say, relax, release, and relate to what God has for you. And remember, God knows. He put you here for a purpose. He wants you to fulfill your purpose. The host of heaven rejoice when you are on your perfect track. And to stay on that track, you have to stay connected to your source. Listen, learn, fulfill. This is Reverend Lydia, and it's been my pleasure to talk to you, to speak to you, to be with you, and to let you know I am you. We all are truly, truly one. This time is our time. So take your time and listen to the words of our God in the words of your heart. Be mindful of everything that you think, say, and do, because they will manifest. So if every thought is a prayer, and every thought makes a manifestation, you might as well enjoy the blessing and manifest well. I'll talk to you next time. Be blessed.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
never knew you. What if I never knew the wonder of your grace? What if I never realized how much you loved me and you died to take my place? Lord, I'd wake up every morning and feel so all alone. I'd search the world for comfort, but your love I never know. My soul would crave your holy presence, but you would not be there. So my life would be a wilderness of if I never knew you. What if I never knew the power of your blood? And what if I never realized, because of my of constant disrepair, I would be so lost. I'd be lost without the cross, the cross. I can't imagine who I'd be if Jesus never rescued me, and if his mercy
without the cross. Ooh.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and happy Thursday. This is your host of the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. I am, as always, excited to be here with you today. And as you guys know, the song that you just heard is by my dear friend and church member, Amber Patterson DePaola. Please check her music out. She is going to be streaming on anywhere that you can get music. She has a new CD out entitled Mercy on Me. And it is really going to bless your heart. But speaking of Amber, she just so happens to be my guest today. And I'm going to tell you why. In 2021, I am committed to honestly interviewing women who are as crazy as I am and who believe in doing the absolute most with a smile on their face and a cookie in each hand. Yes. But just to tell you a little bit about Amber, Amber was 9. Gosh, we're getting old. When I met her, and she was this little fireball whose voice was as big as the sky itself. And I have had the pleasure of watching Amber grow up and become the writer and producer, y'all get this, of over 80 original songs. And she has served as our church's choir director for the last few years. But aside from that, she is also a married mother of 2 boys. She works as a court reporter, which is super cool. Gets to see a lot of things. But one thing that I love about Amber is her heart for God and how she keeps him at the forefront of her business and understanding that being a good steward of the talent that she has is what is pleasing to him. So without further ado, Amber, are you there?
I don't know how I got muted, but hello there. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yay! Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to help me. So tell the audience a little bit more about you from your perspective, because you know I'm extra. So tell them a little bit more about you, how you got started, and all that good stuff.
Okay, well, first off, I'm 29. I started piano lessons when I was 6 years old. My parents thought it was important that we learned an instrument, not only for our academic life, but also for our Christian life, because we are a ministry family. My dad has been a pastor for, I'm thinking about 23 years today. I'm not, but you know, about 23 years. And so just being able to help in the ministry music wise has really been the way that I've developed into the person that I am and into the musician that I am. I've been married for almost 5 years now, and I have a 2-year-old, and I have a 4-month-old. And I also have a 12-year-old stepson. So I'm a busy lady most of the time. But off today, so I'm happy to be on this show today and just been able to spend a little time with Miss Tammy.
So y'all, now you know there are other people out here who are juggling life, faith, family, ministry, business, and themselves. So So you are not alone. You are not alone. So Amber, I was watching the live stream when your dad mentioned over 80 songs. And even though I've known you for all your life, pretty much, I didn't know there were that many. Can you run down the names of your CDs? Because I know you have several. And I would try, I don't want to miss any of them. So
so the first one would be More Than a Savior. And that one was produced when I was 9 years old. And most of the songs came from my teenage years. Just that's when I really started writing, was when I started really growing in my relationship with God, and a lot of songs started coming to me in those forming years. And then the next one would be It Took the Blood, and that one was the one that I actually met my husband off of. He heard that CD, and so that's how we met. And then the one that comes after that is Lost Without the Cross. And that was when I was a newlywed. We produced that in 2016. And that one, all of these, each one had at least 10 songs on it, I think, other than More Than a Savior. I think there was 9. And then we did I say It Took the Blood?
Yes.
Yeah, I took the blood. And now we have Mercy on Me, which is our latest release. And I'm just really excited to see, you know, how it blesses people and, you know, just the response. Because people always tell me, you know, they enjoy it or it ministers to them. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it kind of fits in. Other CDs that we've produced, and I'm just grateful that we had the opportunity and that the choir was willing to go on this whole CD journey with us again and, you know, learn the songs and, you know, go into the studio for hours. It's a fun process, but it's definitely a lot of work, and it gets a little scary sometimes when you think, oh, it's not going to come together, it's not going to sound good. But every time, you know, God brings us through and people are still blessed by it. So I'd say that's pretty much my CD journey. There are songs I've written that are not on a CD yet. And there's also songs that I've written that are on other CDs where it wasn't a completely original album. So I'd say I had never actually counted up the songs, but my dad took the time to do it. So when he said that, I was like, oh, really? You know, myself, like, oh, okay. So that was interesting.
Well, I can definitely say, as somebody who, you know, took that journey with you, I will tell y'all, a lot of cookies were eaten during the making of these CDs. If you know me, you know I can find any excuse to eat a cookie. But I wanted to have Amber to share her story because I said this to her. To me, she is to music what I am to books. And it's really important for you to, as you're listening, just to take a minute and just ask yourself, what is it that God has put in your head and heart to do? And what are you doing to cultivate that and to keep it going? So Amber, I want to ask you now, what are some of the challenges that you had over your music journey that you had to overcome?
Well, one challenge that I had to overcome was that I was kind of lazy when it came to my music being able to sight read. I typically like to play by ear. It's easier for me. It's more natural. But my piano teacher didn't want me to be limited. So she forced me to learn how to really read the music and play it the way that it's written and not just the way I hear it. And that was something that was tough for me to overcome because I was young and I was like, well, this is the easy way and I can make it sound like that, you know, but I didn't really respect the music or the way it was written because, you know, if you're not playing it the way it's written on the paper, you can make it sound the same kind of, but it's not exactly how the original artist wanted it. So that was something I had to overcome, just learning how to read the music and not just, you know, do my interpretation of it. So that's one way that I kind of struggled a little bit. Another thing was just branching out and figuring out what my music was going to sound like, because just developing my sound and what I liked in my music was kind of a learning curve. I know for a while I like put a hymn in every song, and I still love to put hymns in songs, but it was like every song would have a little piece right in the middle where I went into a hymn, and that kind of became my signature for a while. I don't even know if Miss Tammy picked up on it, but like, if you listen to most of my songs from my first album, there's like a lot of hymns, which is cool. But, you know, I kind of wanted to branch out a little bit and not do it on every song. So that was kind of interesting, like, you know, coming up with a climax that didn't involve a hymn. Another thing that I'd say I had to overcome was just being kind of like insecure. Like, oh, this doesn't sound good, or, oh, that doesn't sound like a real song, or, you know, oh, this message might be a little too preachy. Because there have been times when I've sent in my music to, like, songwriter-type competitions just to kind of get some feedback, and they would say, oh, your music is too preachy, or God didn't say that, or, you know, and my music is all based on scripture, but it was like they had a looser idea of what, you know, the Bible's saying in certain areas. So that was something that I had to kind of get over, with that, you know, it's not going to be everybody's cup of tea, but who it's meant for, it will bless, you know. So those are definitely some areas where I've had to, you know, just be okay with, you know, where I am and what God has given me, and not worry about, you know, oh, this doesn't sound mainstream, or they're probably not going to play this on the radio, that type of stuff.
And that's an important thing to think about. And I'm glad that you brought that up, you know, because even writing, you know, I have dealt with that. So to understand that everybody is not your listener is very important. And
Right. You
can't get caught up in that, because if you do, then you will never, you know, you'll never do anything. You know, you will always think that what you have put out, it isn't going to do anything. It isn't going to bless anybody. But your music has literally gone all over the world.
Right.
And, you know, so how does that feel for you to know that you've got people in Africa and China and just everywhere, almost everywhere pretty much, that are, you're getting these messages back that, you know, that they are enjoying your music? How does that make you feel?
It's really just like, wow, God, you know, I didn't expect that, because I'm not even quite sure how it's gotten to all these places. I guess it's just word of mouth and people sharing. But I'm pretty much just like, okay, wow, God, I wasn't expecting that, you know? And I honestly just kind of feel surprised, especially when, like, people message me who I don't even know. And they're like, oh, I heard this song from so-and-so or somewhere, and it really blessed me. And it'll just be random. It'll be months go by, and I don't hear anything from anybody. And, you know, I'm not thinking about it. And then some random person will reach out and send me an email and, you know, just be really encouraging. And I was going through a tough time and I listened to your song, or I was headed to a doctor's appointment and I was feeling nervous and I was listening to the CD and it blessed me, you know, things like that. So it really, I'm just really grateful, you know, for the opportunity to even be involved in somebody's walk like that. You know, it's kind of like for them, it's like a soundtrack to what they're going through, and I'm going through it with them, because in some ways they can tell by the music that I'm kind of telling my own story, mm-hmm. and you know, the thing brought me through. And so it just blesses my soul to know that it's touching others, you know, and that God is using it, and that God is being, like, who God is being shown. Because that's the goal for my songs. It's like, just make God look good. Show all the different things about him, you know, that are wonderful. And so when people tell me, oh, I'm listening to it way over here, and I've got it over here in Germany, and it's amazing, because, you know, his word is going forward, you know, and it's going further than I was expecting, you know. But he takes the little we have, this is a lyric from the CD,
yes,
and turns
it
into more. So, I'm just grateful, really, when I hear things like that.
That is awesome. So I'm two more questions for you. The first one being, how do you juggle all of the hats that you are, you know, that you wear, you know, being a mom, being a wife, you've got one in school, two at home, you know, you're married, you're writing, you work. What would you say has been the thing that has kept you from locking yourself in your car and staying there?
Just God's grace, really. Just God's grace and having community around me, people that help, people that, you know, will stop in to help every now and then, or, you know, God's grace, and just prioritizing, like, okay, what do I need to get done right now? What's important? Things like that. Like, right now, I'm remodeling my kitchen, and I just do it when the kids are asleep. I'm doing little projects here and there. And a lot of times, I just wait till the kids are asleep, and I'll stay up really, really late and get it done. Same thing with writing. A lot of times, songs come to me when I'm sitting at work, because I'll be reading my scriptures while I'm sitting at my desk. And song will come to me, and I'll run to the office, and I'll kind of sing it into the phone. And then while I'm cooking dinner, I'll be standing there singing into the phone, coming up with things, and I'm hearing it in my head and things like that. Really, it's just, I do it while I'm doing other things. It's not like I'm just sitting there, oh, let me think, you know, because I don't really have as much time as I used to. So God has just given me different ways to get it done while I'm, you know, cooking dinner, or while I'm folding laundry, or while the kids are taking a nap, and that type of thing. So it's really just like multitasking.
Yes.
Multitasking, I'd say.
Yes. So you and I are kind of on that same path, because I tell people I make it by grace, naps, and cookies.
Now, I want to know what kind of cookies you are eating all the time, because they must be something.
Woo, that's a whole show by itself. That is a whole show by itself.
Eating.
Yes, that's a whole show by itself. But my final question for you is, what words of encouragement, words of wisdom do you have for anybody out there? Because not just women listen to my show.
Mm-hmm.
So what words of wisdom or encouragement do you have for somebody out there who honestly feels like life is just keeping them from doing anything that they want to do?
What I would say is just start small, but start. Just do a little something, you know. That's what I would have to say, because before you know it, you will have done exactly the thing that you've been thinking about, but you just start with little steps. If you don't start the first step, you're not going to complete to the end, and you'll be looking back in 10 years and say, man, I wish I would have done this. And I'm thankful for my dad, because he's kind of pushed me with my music, because honestly, he's the one that's come up with the idea, oh, let's do a CD concert, let's do this, let's do that. And so he's taken my talent and kind of pushed me and made me, you know, keep going, you know, think of new ways, you know, get it out there and that type of thing. So I would say just start. Take that first step, and then even if it's so slow, it just start, you know, because if you don't, then you'll be sitting there wishing you had, and it might be, you know, the opportunity isn't even there anymore. So what I would say is just, you know, stop thinking about it and, like, take action. Look into, look up and see what it is you would have to do to get started, and take that first step, you know, make a plan, okay. And maybe next month I'll do this. And then the month after that, I'll do that. And just start small. And really, that's the only thing I could say. That's kind of how I started out. We started out with just, we recorded CDs when we were little kids. And then once I got to be an adult and all that, now we go into like the big studio. But the first studio I went into was in a guy's garage. It wasn't anything fancy, you know, but we got started, we That's really the only thing I could share in regards to that, because I don't really feel like I'm an expert on anything. But
but you know what? And you don't have to be, but I've always told people that, you know, your story is meant to save or to change someone's faith, family, ministry, or business. So they need to you know, to know about it. So, Amber, I want to thank you so much for taking a little bit of the time out of your day and talking to me. You know, I'm always, you know, I'm here. I'm always in your corner, being as annoying as I know how to be.
Oh my God. You're always talking about being annoying. You're not annoying.
I'm annoying. I am. So as always, my friend, God bless, Godspeed to you and everything that you do. Guys, if you are in Memphis, I am going to be hopefully here soon, stocking Amber's CDs here, physical CDs here at my store. So watch out for that. But I am going to get off of the air, but you guys know me, you know that I dare not end my show without thanking two very special people. First and foremost, Kayla Padgett, the CEO and founder of this wonderful network. Congratulations on network number 16 coming up. And just God bless you as you continue to care for your mom and your sisters during this time. To Nicole Gates, the woman who lovingly bullied me into having this radio show in the first place. Thank you always for your support and your motivation. I do not take it lightly. Guys, this is Tammy Polk. This has been the Virtuous Businesswoman Motivational Broadcast. And as always, God bless, Godspeed in all that you do. Keep charging, and I'll see you guys in March.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
I know how you feel, fighting for another breath, searching for the strength to lift your legs another step. Wounded by the past, how long will it last? Buried by the heavy weight, it won't be long. Keep holding on, you won't have to wear those chains. Help is on the way. Heaven's on your side. Every prayer is heard. Your rescue's coming just in time. Lift up your eyes, look to the hills. You won't be overcome. It won't be long. Keep holding on, sure as the rising sun. Help is on the way. But it isn't over yet.
Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series. The following program is not a source of medical advice. Suzanne Mosley and the coaches for the Southern Fried Keto Foodie are not medical doctors, dietitians, or nutritionists. Please consult your doctor regarding information discussed on the show or before beginning any type of weight loss program.
Based off of many medical studies, carbohydrates and sugar are detrimental to your health. On the contrary, naturally sourced, healthy fats are beneficial for proper growth and development. The benefits of a lower carbohydrate and higher fat diet results in optimizing the body's potential. To back up my thoughts on this, I want to share a little history on keto as well as the diet industry with you today. Welcome again to the Weight of the World radio program on Lifted Authors Network. I'm your host, Suzanne Mosley, author of the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Cookbook Series and Ketogenic Lifestyle Coach. Within my broadcasts, my purpose is not only to guide you along your ketogenic path, but also help you navigate other factors that play into your success from everyday life. When coaching my clients, I take a big picture perspective because your health is not only a result of what you eat, but also what you surround yourself with. I want to start off today by talking about some publications that have been put out there that are well known within the ketogenic community. According to the publication titled The Ketogenic Diet, Uses in Epilepsy and Other Neurological Illnesses, published on July 7, 2010, on the U.S. Library of Medicine National Institute of Health website, explains that the ketogenic diet initially was developed in the 1920s. It was in response to the observation that fasting had anti-seizure properties. It also stated that during fasting, the body metabolizes fat stores via lipolysis, and then the fatty acids undergo beta oxidation into ketone bodies that the cell can then use as precursors to generate ATP. So in other words, fasting actually creates the change in metabolic processes to use fat for fuel instead of glucose. That is basically the premise of the ketogenic diet. This diet found favor within the medical community, but eventually fell out of favor with the development of new anticonvulsant agents. Now, when the body creates the consistent state of fat burning instead of glucose burning, you have achieved what is called ketosis. In order to stay in this fat burning state, which switches very easily from dietary fat to stored bodily fat, you have to continue to exclude glucose sources from your diet, which starts with sugars and heavy carbohydrate-laden foods, then replacing them with ultra-low-carb glycemic response foods, such as fats, proteins, and minimal carbohydrate vegetables. This is typically the part where most people would ask, but what about the U.S. FDA food pyramid? Those rules seemingly contradict everything we've been taught about healthy nutrition. Well, yes, it is contradictory. It took me researching for a few weeks before I personally finally understood the concept enough to put aside the information that was pounded into my head for so many years, and just to try this diet plan that seemed like the craziest, most insane idea ever. That fat was not only nutritious, but also satisfying above and beyond any carb or sugar-laden food source. In my early studies, I came across a key piece of information that honestly created a lot of curiosity in my head. After President Dwight Eisenhower had a heart attack, two well-known studies emerged. One was from a doctor in the U.S. named Ansel Keys, and the other from a doctor in the U.K. named John Yudkin. John Yudkin proposed that sugar was to blame not only for the president's heart attack, but all cardiovascular disease, while Ansel Keys proposed that fat was to blame. In the 1970s, Ansel Keys' theory that increased fat factored into cardiovascular disease and coronary episodes was actually adopted by the U.S. over John Yudkin's theory of the unhealthy offender being sugar. This decision to follow one scientist's advice over the other led to the creation of what we follow today as the USDA food pyramid. Now let's look at some modern day details that most people don't realize. The average American diet today consists of upwards of 40 tablespoons of sugar a day versus what the average human body should be processing to keep insulin levels even in a normal range, which is usually around only 9 tablespoons a day. When the low-fat movement became popular, the obesity epidemic and diabetes numbers rose at an alarming rate. Prior to this, obesity was roughly 1 in 100, but today, 1 in every 3 people are obese, according to the National Institute of Health. Diabetes has doubled since the 1970s, according to the Framingham Offspring Study performed by Dr. Caroline Fox of the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. Now, remember that the sugar industry has become a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry. Sugar, that sweet, white, nasty little stuff, is a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry. The obesity epidemic seem to worsen with the promotion of low-fat diets. Food labels never say how much sugar is actually recommended every day because there's no dietary need for it. and it is a hotly debated that kids are getting addicted to sugar from infancy, starting with formula, which is made of an alarming amount of sugar and starches. Due to improper health education of parents, things like juice and formula and even milk are overlooked as sources of sugar and carbohydrates. If you're just now joining me, you probably think milk. Well, what's wrong with milk? Just a small 8-ounce glass has 12 carbohydrates in it. Those carbohydrates are actually responded to by the body just like it would sugar. It creates glucose in order for it to be used as an energy source. Several studies have been performed by doctors in the UK, such as Dr. Foster, GD, on the carbohydrate diet for obesity, which is published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2003. The conclusion of this study showed that the low-carb group had improved significantly in bad cholesterol and lowered triglycerides. Weight loss in obese patients was significant as well. In a similar study performed by Dr. Smaha, also published in the same year, showed a conclusion of improved insulin sensitivity on low-carb diets, whereas the low-fat participants' labs actually showed slightly worse results than before. To understand how these studies concluded such results, you must understand how the body processes food. Carbohydrates and sugar are broken down into glucose in the body and is turned into energy. When you eat carbohydrates or sugar, the body also sees these both as the same thing and processes them identically. Eating carbohydrates or high amounts of carbohydrates and sugar causes a spike in insulin production. And when the body intakes sugar and carbohydrates faster than it can produce insulin, the effects can lead to health complications such as type 2 diabetes. Even if the body can make enough insulin to keep up, once it has enough glucose to make energy, it stores the rest into the belly as fat. So on the other hand, the body can convert fat into energy as well. You actually don't need that glucose spike. However, carbohydrates spike insulin, and whereas fat does not. Since there is no insulin to store the excess fat for the body, it sends it away as waste. Since insulin is necessary for energy sources for storage, the insulin not being produced in large amounts, the fat is not held onto like sugar and carbohydrates, which are actually stored away by the insulin response that it produces, and it uses it for later use. Based on neuroscience studies such as the ones referenced on the National Institute of Health website in an article titled Sugar Addiction, Pushing the Drug-Sugar Analogy to the Limit, the brain responds to sugar exactly like cocaine. Because of this, it can affect sleeping habits, focus, and even impair judgment. Just as cocaine addicts crave more once they come off their high, when a person hits a sugar crash, it triggers the same response. We know all about these sugar crashes if you've paid attention to small children, but did you realize that adults actually go through just as heightened of a response from a sugar crash as a child? This response is that you crave more sugar. In the study that's referenced in this, mice were given cocaine as a baseline for the experiment. Then the mice were offered both cocaine and sugar side by side. You would not believe it, but the mice chose the sugar over the cocaine every single time. This could possibly show that sugar is more addictive than cocaine. In the case of fat, it doesn't create an insulin response, and therefore there is no craving as an after effect. Healthy fats are actually important to support the brain, whereas sugar is pretty much treated like poison and it causes inflammation. It stands to be questioned that the food industry has been allowed to misguide us through labeling and use terms that mislead us to believe that certain products are well balanced. An example of this is many food labels that are labeled as healthy contain increased amounts of sugar and carbohydrates. Low-calorie diets cause the body to go into starvation mode, and low-fat diets actually starve the brain of what it needs. If you've ever been on a low-fat diet, you know I'm telling the truth when I say that you have experienced brain fog. And it has been dismissed away on those diets. That brain fog is where you're actually starving your body of the healthy fats that it needs for brain support. Not to mention, when low-fat diets came on the scene, many food manufacturers had to replace the fat in their products, which was used to make these foods flavorful, with sugar to make the food products more palatable. Many other diet plans failed to see the true necessities of what the body needs and more so looks at what it can be taken away from the body. Therefore, they cause more harm than good. Juicing, okay, I'm going to probably end up with a lynch mob in my yard, but juicing is a great example of this. Before you turn me off, let me explain. An apple has plenty of fiber as a whole piece of fruit. And when you eat an apple, the fiber tells your brain that your body is full after just one or two. Juicing that same apple gets rid of that fiber, and you are literally left with nothing but sugar and a minimal amount of nutrition. This creates a less than healthy byproduct that causes increases in insulin production in just one glass of juice. What you don't see is that the vital nutrients and fiber are gone from the juicing product. And don't get me started on bottled fruit juices, y'all. Next time you go to the grocery store, pick up a bottle of what you think is the healthiest true fruit juice you can find. I'm going to interject pomegranate juice here just because everybody thinks that is so healthy. Go compare it to a 2-liter bottle of Coke. But be forewarned. Hold your jaw so it doesn't hit the floor, because many of these juices have nearly as much, some of them even more sugar than your favorite regular soda. Many of us across the ketogenic low-carb community honestly believe that the government should reevaluate guidelines based off of more scientific evidence worldwide rather than just the evidence based solely off the U.S. studies, which are, well, mainly paid for by the food industries, such as the study of fructose as a dietary supplement, funded by Coca-Cola in 2015, which actually excluded scientific facts. Based on medical evidence collected, increased carbohydrates and sugar have had a negative impact on our health as a society. As I've stated before, diabetes has doubled in the past 30 years, which coincidentally aligns with the same time frame as when low-fat diets were introduced as healthy. During a time when we as people have become more aware of the need for our healthy diet and proper food choices, ironically, we as humans are sicker on average than we have ever been before. The evidence we've seen seems to conclude that diets based off of lower carbohydrate intake and diminished sugar consumption, along with the addition of higher levels of healthy fats, have proven outstanding results in individuals who consistently eat this way. From the beginning of my family's weight loss journey to making the ketogenic diet our healthy way of eating, we have seen benefits far beyond just weight loss. Anyone who knows us personally has probably heard everything that we have had corrected in our health and well-being. We feel better, from muscle gains to increased stamina, energy levels. The ketogenic diet has proven to us to be more than just a weight loss plan, but also a way to support our goals of extending longevity and bettering our health into our older years. When your cholesterol markers get in line and you lower your triglycerides, you feel better, a lot better. And it also makes you look a little bit more hope towards the future, especially if you have family histories of different things that actually the ketogenic diet can be supportive of. As a family, we've been on keto for just over 4 years and wouldn't think of going back to any variants of the standard American diet.
The food is great, y'all. Not even kidding you. You get the right recipes and you will wonder how you ever lived without this diet. The food is amazing. For the first time ever, we've not only been successful at weight loss, but also meeting fitness goals we never dreamed were possible. My husband and I are actually in better health now than we were even in our 20s. And back then, we worked out 5 days a week. I won't talk about how much I don't work out. I attempt to work out weekly. Most of the time, I get in about 1 day, you know, 1 day of actual physical fitness. And the rest of it, I'm chasing time to get that physical fitness. But even without actually having those days of exercise and workout time, I'm still feeling better. I have more stamina. I have more energy. I can actually keep up with my 16-year-old daughter sometimes. She looks at me and says, I'm going to bed. I can't keep up with you. And it actually feels great because in her younger years, it was very difficult for me to keep up with her because I was so overweight. But also in this, our daughter has learned how to truly identify healthy sources of dietary fuel by relying on what we know about the human body and its metabolic processes rather than restricting herself into the unhealthy mindset of starvation, which is scarily still prevalent in our youth society today. Just knowing that science backs up her food choices also helps her to have a stronger sense of body confidence in an age where thigh gap and disproportionate fad body images are constantly plugged into young women's lives. That in itself is priceless to us as her parents. For those of you who are listening today and still in the research phase, please keep reading, keep searching, and keep seeking for good health. You can achieve it. You just have to find what truly works for you. And if you're getting ready to start keto, I suggest trying to find a physician who's knowledgeable about keto or at least low carb that can help you find your, for lack of better terms, sweet spot. Utilizing a keto lifestyle coach is a great way to get you started on the right track. If you find the right support team, your goals can be accomplished effectively and successfully. Weight loss is not elusive. I don't care what anybody says. Neither is avoiding future health issues that may be common across your family history. Your body is essentially a complex machine in its processes, as each process supports the other processes and vice versa. If you compare the human body to a car, you need the correct fuel in order for a car to run proficiently, among other essentials such as other fluids. I mean, you're not going to put diesel gasoline in a regular standard car, just like you wouldn't put ethanol gasoline in a diesel car. It just doesn't work. It makes things not work properly, and too much of that can cause damage. It's the same with your body. If you have repeatedly eaten a horrible standard American diet that has been full of sugar and carbohydrates, your body has already been fighting that battle for however long it's been. When you start to clean up your diet and you get those offenders out of your diet, you will feel better. Now, I will tell you the first week of keto can be a little tough because there are some withdrawals from it, but it's literally the first week. You can make it through 7 days. I promise you, this diet is fantastic. This is the same with the human body. You need protein and healthy fats for optimal muscle and brain support. What you do not need are sugars and high carbohydrate foods. Let me repeat that. You do not need sugar in your body. You do not need high carbohydrate foods. Those are not necessities for a healthy, balanced diet. You can literally get everything you need from a well-balanced diet of proteins, healthy fats, low carbohydrate vegetables, most nuts, and berries in moderation. I doubt there are very many people out there who can argue that those categories of protein, healthy fats, low carb veggies, nuts, and berries in moderation would be considered unhealthy. However, some of those same people will also go get a Danish and consider that healthy for breakfast. Imagine the sugar content that is in a Danish compared to even just a ketogenic dessert in itself. Most of the ketogenic desserts that we even eat are less than 5 carbs per serving. Some of them, even bite-sized ones, are so rich that it doesn't take but a bite or two and you're honestly satisfied. And you're sitting at 2 carbs for that indulgence. Now, I will say that there are other people out there who cannot, it's not even about the sugar. It's more about the sweet flavor in their mouth. And the sugar perpetuated that for so long that sometimes even sweeteners in themselves, whether they're keto or not, can cause those people to have difficulties staying on plan. That is one of those details where you need to work with a keto coach and help them to design, get them to help you design a meal plan that helps you negate those things. Some people have the ability to work through keto desserts and lose their weight and stay consistent. Other people actually have to get the sweets out of their diet. Don't let that scare you. It will be an easy transition, especially if you have the right support system around you. Thank you so much for joining me today. If you're interested in learning more about the ketogenic diet and how it can help you in your journey to better health, check out our page and join our free support group on Facebook. You can also find us on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter. Check out our cookbook series, The Southern Fried Keto Foodie, in paperback and Nook version through barnesandnoble.com, or you can find us in digital form as well on Amazon Kindle. If you are in need of a coach to help you create your own ketogenic plan, feel free to contact us for more information on how we can help you. Just email us at author@southernfriedketofoodie.com to request an information packet regarding our services. Please join us every month for more episodes of Way to the World. For showtimes, follow my Way to the World page or the Southern Fried Keto Foodie Facebook page. I hope you all have a wonderful rest of the day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.